Psalm chapter 91, verse number 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Just for the sake of emphasis, could you say that out loud with me? Ready, begin. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place. I want to talk to you this morning about finding the secret place in your relationship with God and perhaps even in your relationship with others. But the most important relationship that you will ever have is the relationship that you have with God. And it will directly affect the relationship that you have with all others. One of my favorite places to visit is Israel. And it seems like each time I go, there's another part of the Bible that comes alive to me. Something about having that visualization has a profound effect on understanding Scripture. But I have discovered in the number of times that I've been to Israel that really your trip is only as good as your tour guide. And I am now privileged to know a man who I believe is probably the number one tour guide in all of Israel. His name is Iran. And the last time that I was there, I discovered that Iran knows a lot of people in powerful places. And I discovered that as a result of that, he's in on a lot of secrets. In fact, as he's showing you some places, he will make the statement, "Now, this is a secret. It's not yet published." In other words, the archaeologists are continuing to dig and continuing to discover, and they've not yet made known to the public what you are seeing in that moment. Iran will sometimes take you places that are off the beaten path and allow you to see some secrets. This last time I was there, he actually asked me, "Would you like to see a secret place?" And I said, "Yes, sir, sign me up." We proceeded to go deep down into the lower portions of ancient Israel. It was somewhere nearabouts or beneath the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. And he let me know as we descended down the staircases and we made our ways through the tunnel that we were about to see a secret place. That it was a room that very few people in the public ever get to see, and it is a place where the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, often has secret meetings, and there he engages with other diplomats. In fact, one of his last meetings with President Trump in Jerusalem is believed to have been in that specific place. And as I stood in that room, and I just absorbed the fact that I was in a secret place, I began to think about what it's like to see something that most other people have never had the chance to see, and to experience something that a lot of other people will never have the chance to experience, and just to kind of look around and try to take note of all the secrets. The secret place. But you know, the only reason I was able to get into that secret place is because somebody invited me. Now, I'd like to invite you to go to Israel with us, 3trees.com/events. We're going to be going in the month of June, and I say that humorously, but the truth of it is, I think it'd be a great experience for you. It's not something we're doing it as a fundraiser. It's something that we just want the Bible to come alive for you. So that's your invitation. But when you read Psalm chapter 91, verse 1, it also holds an invitation. Here's what it says. He who dwells in the secret place. It does not mention the name of someone who dwells in the secret place. It does not associate a title or a position with those who have access to the secret place. It just gives us a general term. It just says, he who dwells in the secret place. What that implies is that each of us have an invitation to the secret place. I want you to look at somebody and tell them, you have an invitation. Think about that for a moment. That there is evidently some place in God's presence that he has reserved as a secret. And yet, though we are all invited, it would seem that few choose to actually go to the secret place. And that leads me to the question of, if we're all invited, then how do you actually get to the secret place? And I believe I've come to the conclusion that it is trust that gets you in. You see, every secret is directly connected to trust. You don't share a secret with someone that you don't trust. Every one of us have a moment in our history where we have looked at someone and said, "Now listen, I'm going to tell you this, but you can't tell anyone else. It's a secret." You've had moments maybe where you said, "Now listen, I'm going to show you something, but you can't show anyone else. It's a secret." And we all know what it's like to then have them go tell somebody else or show somebody else. And then we feel betrayed because we're dealing with the pain of broken trust. And I bet if you've ever had that happen, you are even more careful with your secrets today than you were then. And you probably value trust more now than you even did then. It's probably even led you to be more careful about searching out people who you truly can trust. And the truth of it is, what we're talking about today has a lot to do with why betrayal in the realm of sex has such a pain associated with it. Because what happens is that sexual intimacy is something that brings others into the secret place. And then when someone betrays that trust, when someone betrays that intimacy, "Into me you see," it hurts. There's pain associated with it because the trust is broken. You feel exposed. You feel vulnerable. You feel taken advantage of. You feel empty. Secrets are directly associated with trust. And so, every single one of us has an invitation into a secret place in God's presence. But it is trust that gets us in. And what I want you to think about is, it's not so much about God trusting you as it is about you trusting God. Because what you will discover is that when you trust God, He knows He can trust you. But you will never be able to get to the secret place leaning on the crutch of your own understanding. Here's what Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 says: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." What it implies is that if you are leaning on your understanding, then you are not simultaneously trusting the Lord. And so if you're going to get into the secret place, you have to make a decision that, even if this doesn't make sense, I'm going to keep trusting God. Even if I can't comprehend what's happening right now, I'm going to keep trusting God. That even if my pencil and my calculator can't make it all come together, I'm going to keep trusting God. That even when the medical professionals don't seem to be able to help me understand this, I'm going to keep trusting God. And what happens is that when you trust God, you find yourself in a secret place that provides peace that passes understanding, because you're not leaning to your own understanding. See, Psalm chapter 91 includes some of the most famous passages in all of Scripture about what God desires to do for people who trust Him. But Psalm 91 starts with the verse that we've taken as a focus this morning. And that implies that all of the promises that are associated with Psalm 91 are directly connected to, first and foremost, being into the secret place of His presence. And so that if we are going to experience what Psalm 91 has to offer, the first thing we're going to have to do is trust the Lord, even when we can't understand what is going on or happening around us. I want you just to see some of the things that God says He has for those who will trust Him and dwell in His secret place. Psalm 91: "Do not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. For though 1,000 fall at your left hand and 10,000 fall at your right hand, the evil will not touch you. No evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. And you will trample upon lions and cobras, and you will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. That is available to those who are in the secret place. It's almost as if God is saying, I'll hide you from a lot of that stuff if you'll just trust me. It'll come looking for you, but it won't find you because I've placed you in a secret place. I feel like I need to encourage somebody to understand this morning that when you get into that secret place, He never said there wouldn't be a lion. He never said there wouldn't be a snake. He never said there wouldn't be pestilence. He just said that when 1,000 fall at your left hand and 10,000 fall at your right hand, because you are in the secret place, you'll still stand. And so when pestilence is breaking out and plague is covering the earth, you start struggling to understand. And if you're not careful, that will drag you out of the secret place trying to make sense out of everything that's happening. See, God never said that someone wouldn't fall. He just said you had the opportunity to stand if you would keep trusting Him. So everyone has an invitation. And trust is what gets you in. But Psalm 91:1, it is he that dwells in the secret place. In other words, once you find it, don't leave. Once you get there, stay. He didn't imply that this is a place you visit. He clearly said this is a place you dwell. Dwelling means that you are taking up residence. Dwelling means that it is a place of habitation. Dwelling means you intend to stay to the point that you are now establishing structure. Dwell. It's not a place you run in and run out. In fact, if you keep doing that, it's not going to be a secret much longer. Well, I thought it was good and I couldn't get an amen anywhere. Third try all day. Didn't work any of the ones prior either. Par for the course. Can I get an amen somewhere? Amen. Praise God. Just making sure they were still out there. Dwell in the secret place. So everyone has an invitation. Trust gets me in. And once I get there, I'm taking up residence in the aspect of trusting God. Like it's a hedge of protection round about me, angels encamped round about me, understanding that in this secret place there is a peace that doesn't make sense to other people, that there is a faith that others will never be able to fully comprehend, just because we have come to trust that if God be for us, it doesn't matter who or what will ever be against us. Doesn't mean that there's not stuff against us. Doesn't mean there's not weapons being formed to come and take us out. It just means the weapon cannot prosper, and that because God is for us, it trumps everything else. Dwell in the secret place. And it's such a secret place that when you are going through challenge, you are going through trial, you're going through difficulty, people look at you cross-eyed funny because they can't understand how you have the peace that you have, how you have the joy that you have, how it is that you have maintained this fortitude in your faith. Because they're still leaning on their understanding. But you've decided to trust in the Lord. And with it comes the revelation of where the secret place is. But the passage goes on. In Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Most High. It means there's nothing higher. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Come on. That's right. I thought it was too, and I still couldn't get no help. Most High. Amen. It means that the secret place is not in the low place. The secret place is in a high place. Paul put it this way, that you, as a result of your salvation, are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that because you are in Jesus, now every single thing is under His feet, to the point that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against you, simply because the secret place is in the high place. And so what I'd like to encourage you with is that if you are going through a season of discouragement, if you're battling depression, if you feel down and out, is it possible that your trust in the Lord has been negatively affected by your desire to figure it out? Because I'm going to tell you straight up, the lowest I have ever felt in my life is when I was trying to figure it out. See, I know what it is. 19 years ago this month, to stand on a hillside, 357 under my chin, note written to my family because I couldn't figure it out. And in that moment, fully intending to not see the next day because I couldn't figure it out. Anybody else ever been in a place where you just felt really, really low because you couldn't figure it out? And you were leaning on your own understanding to the point that you were becoming exposed to elements of the enemy, that you found a vulnerability that you had never even really faced before? I know what it's like to go through 5 surgeries in 2.5 years and keep getting worse doctor's reports, and day after day continue to lose weight, losing 90-something pounds, and go from this surgeon to that surgeon and wind up at this hospital and that hospital and this one cutting on you and that one cutting on you, and none of them able to figure out exactly what's going on with you, and about lose your mind because you can't figure it out. Google every single thing that you can possibly think to Google to try to figure it out, and then feel absolutely worse on the other side of hours and hours of research than you did when you started, because there was something about trying to lean to your own understanding that pulled you out of the secret place where the peace and the joy existed. You may never feel more low than when you're totally focused on trying to figure it out. And I'll say this to you, you will never feel more high than when you have decided, I will trust in the Lord. He is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. If He gets me in, He's going to get me out. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is my everything. He is my beginning. He is my end. He is most high, and everything else is under Him. And if I can just trust Him, trust Him, so much more of the rest of it is going to take care of itself just because we choose to trust Him. So I just need you to look at somebody and tell them, you're invited. And trust will get you in. And once you get there, dwell there. Because you're going to discover it is a high place. And I'm not telling you you'll never have a valley, but when God meets you in the valley, it's to walk you to the mountaintop. And I can promise you that if you want to know where our God resides, He said, look to the hills from whence your help cometh. Our God is a God of the high place, and He will reach further down than you will ever be able to reach up. So it might be about time to throw your hand up like somebody drowning in the waters of life and let the lifeguard of heaven know, come get me, pull me back into the high place, the secret place, where once again I trust You, instead of literally driving myself crazy trying to figure it out. Now, about 3 weeks ago, I had to be in Louisiana. And I got off the plane in New Orleans and I called home to check in. Everything seemed to be fine. Later that night, I'm arriving at the place where I'm supposed to be staying, and my wife texts me. And she said, "Eric, I didn't want to tell you this while you were driving. And I hate to have to tell you this while you're in Louisiana. But at my checkup with the doctor, things didn't go like we expected them to go. In fact, Eric, I've gotten a really bad report." She said, "They found a mass, and they've found some issues in my abdomen. And with all the things that I've already been going through with my back," she'd been having a lot of radiating severe pain in her back. It affected her ability to sleep. It affected her ability to sit at the desk at the office. It affected her ability to travel. And really, to our knowledge, that was the only thing that was wrong with her. But as they began to do their examinations, they began to become extremely concerned that all of these things that were going on was connected. And they share with her, "You need to get back in for testing immediately." Now, as she shares this with me, I pick up the phone, and I let her know Daddy's about to come hold Mama. And she said, I said, "Mandy, I'm coming home." And she said, "No, you're not." "Yes, I am." "Eric, if you came home, how would that prove that we trust the Lord?" I said, well, Mandy, I just want to come hold you and be there with you. This is like not good news." And she says, "I got the Lord for that." And I said, "Well, I really feel like I want to come home." And she said, "Did God tell you to go to Louisiana?" I said, "You know, we decided weeks ago that this was something I was supposed to do." She said, "And it sounds to me like God's already spoke, stay in Louisiana." Now, she's meek. But there's a little fire in there. Sometimes still water runs the deepest. And I got off the phone with her, and I felt absolutely empty. It had been a long time since I had felt that low. And my mind started to go in 1,000 directions, and I started to think about, I would rather it be me than her. Why are we having to go through with this? Why will the enemy not leave us alone? Like, what in the world? And I started Googling, and I started taking her symptoms, and I started trying to, y'all never been there. Like y'all aren't a bunch of web MDs. Come on, them little halos sitting crooked on them horns. Hey, I mean, I was searching, I was texting, I was calling, I was trying to find out everything that I possibly could find out. And then I get a text from one of my friends, and he said, "Did you get my voice text last week?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I know it's not like you to not reply, and you didn't reply, so I'm just making sure you got it." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." He sent the text again, and it said, "I'm in prayer, and the Lord just dealt with me, and he wants you to know that Mandy is healed." Amen. And I thought, "You were trying to send that last week? Because we didn't know she was sick last week." I had only shared with 4 people what was going on with Mandy. 4 people that we felt like we could trust to speak life and pray and help us trust God. We didn't want any negativity. We didn't want any unnecessary worry or concern. We didn't want just anybody praying with us. We wanted the right people praying with us. I just dropped a bomb and I can't get an amen again. Like, sometimes you just need people who really speak life to line up beside you and to believe with you. And so we found that, and while I was there in Louisiana, one of the people I'd asked to pray was actually there. I went into the meeting the next morning. He comes and he finds me. I was just trying to pour a cup of coffee, and he said, "I was in prayer for you this morning. And the Lord wants your family to know that you're not just believing God for a promise. It's a fact. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you are healed." And I'm telling you something. I went from feeling real, low to feeling real high. There was a little bit of a bounce that started coming back to my step on the other side of those two words. I found that there was a trust that was settling in on my life. And by the time I got on the plane on Thursday, I had a peace that I almost felt guilty about. Yep, helped you again and still couldn't. Because the enemy will do that to you. You shouldn't be this at peace. You ought to be a little more worried. Why ain't you Googling this? What? And there was just some kind of a peace that settled in. And when I got home, I noticed that Mandy had the same kind of peace. And we went for testing on Friday. And that Friday, and as we went in, they did hours of testing. And they poke and prod and do this and do that. And everything kept coming back. It's not malignant. It's benign. However, you do need to still have it removed. We recommend these steps going forward. And we were really excited about that good report. And obviously, that was a relief. But then we just still felt like God wasn't done yet. And I'm here to tell you that this week, Mandy went in to meet with a surgeon thinking that we were going to have that mass removed. The doctor looked at her, and in 5 minutes' time, he said to her, "Ma'am, I don't know what you're doing here. You need to go home. This is absolutely nothing to worry about." And I don't know. I kind of felt like we were in a secret place. I kind of felt like that some of that stuff the enemy was trying to throw at us, all of a sudden he got lost. And the next thing you know, it couldn't even find you anymore. And I don't know how to explain it all. I don't know how to comprehend it all. But I'm telling you this, there is a secret place in the presence of God. And if you will trust him. And I know that we've all been through battles. I know that we've all been through struggles. Some of you right now, you are going through a battle and you are going through a struggle. And I know what it's like to have the extended struggle. And I know what it's like to try so hard to figure it out. And I just feel like the unction that the Lord has given me this morning is to encourage you to trust in the Lord. That there is an invitation to a secret place that a lot of people will never find because they won't trust him. And I'm not telling you if you get there that nothing's ever going to go wrong. What I am saying to you is get there before the pestilence comes. Get there before the lion roars. Get there before people start falling to the left and the right. And even if you've been delayed in making it your pathway towards the secret place, then something is chasing you. Well, that's okay too, but now that you're about to arrive there, this time dwell there. Yeah. Stop running in and out. Jaron's going to begin to play, and as he does so, I get it, like, I am an analytical guy. I can drive people crazy trying to figure it out. My mom is sitting on the front row snickering at me. I know what it's like to wake up at 3:00 in the morning, having just went to bed at midnight, set straight up in the bed, grab a laptop, and start digging, trying to figure stuff out. How can we, if we did this, could we reach more people? If we did that, would we be able to impact more lives? If we did it this way, could we pay off the debt sooner? If we, and I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with research and gaining knowledge and being able to have a clear understanding because you've put the work in. What I am saying, as an analytical guy who knows what it is to dig and dig and dig and dig, boy, there does just come a time, doesn't there, where you just have to say, you know what, God, on this one, I trust you. I trust you, God. I trust you. You start to feel like you're in this place with God that so many other people consider a foreign land. Does that make sense this morning? Three people got it. Lord, please let them watch the message a second time and let it come through next time. It's like, I'm just going to land it by saying this. I'm not saying nothing will ever go wrong. That's not the point of this message. I'm not saying that you won't ever even experience loss or have difficulty. What I'm saying is there's an invitation to a secret place. And if you'll trust in the Lord, dwell in that place, you're going to discover that there's something about His presence that can just set you above it. And it just doesn't have the effect on you that it would have on other people. And you will become a testimony of His hand at work in the earth as you just walk out the goodness and the grace and the favor of the Lord. I've found that it's easy to trust people who love you like crazy. Ain't that right? I'm blessed with incredible parents. Now, my mom's made fun of me during this message, but other than that, they're great. And I could say, hey, Mom, I need you to pick up the kids from school today. And I never have to give it another thought. Because I know how much she loves them grandbabies. And she'd go to hell with a water pistol to make sure she's there to pick up them babies. It's that awareness of the love that just makes you trust. Have you ever thought about how much God loves you? He loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He chose to wreck heaven. He loves you so much that He planted a tree on a high place called Calvary and said, I'll climb that hill to take the sins of the world. A God who loves you that much, you can trust Him. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when the stuff around you doesn't add up, even when it seems like that the enemy's winning, you can trust a God who staked His claim with a thing called the cross. And if you ever need to have your faith encouraged, look no further than the cross.